This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome and greet all you listeners. However you're listening to us at this time, we, Don and I, co-pastor church here in Stuart, we have for many years. God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and we've been on the radio here 19 plus years. It's hard to believe. And July the 8th, it's going to be 20 years, Pastor Don, we've been on the radio.
Wow.
And because of the anointing and the work that the Lord wants us to do, and so we've been here. We're honored to be doing this, and It's a labor of love sometimes, but it's all for a purpose, that we might raise the standard in the body of Christ. Boy, do we need that today with all the stuff that's coming down the pike, especially in the church as well. And so we just release ourselves to you, Lord, and so we thank you for that. So we're honored to be here, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and we talk about a lot of things about the Hebrew roots, and you heard our intro to this program. And we talk about God's appointed times and how they were fulfilled in the past and in a natural way, but they also have a prophetic implications to the future. And so here we were. Last week we were talking about coming and counting the Omer, and we're in that season right now, counting the Omer, and we're moving right along with that. And that's the season between Passover, the barley harvest, and the early wheat harvest as well. And this is interesting. We were looking in the book of Ruth, and we might go back over there and share some things with you. This is read during this time and with the Jews, because it talks about the barley harvest, and it also talks about the wheat harvest, which is the early wheat harvest, which is in the early summer. And then, of course, there's another major harvest of all in the latter part during tabernacles and all, and that's where all the figs, the grapes, the wheat again, all these things mature, and it shows the growth that God wants in our lives. And also it's a picture of the kingdom of God when everything will flourish. Everything will flourish. So we're honored to be here with you. As I said, hope you stay tuned in for the whole hour. If not, we do offer CDs and or tapes if you want. We still can do those on the program. And all we ask for is a love offering. And if you want to do that, just make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's the name of our ministry and church. And the address is Post Office Box 413, P.O. Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995 there. So you can avail yourselves of that. And we also mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, in my book we have a sheet with a calendar on it, because some people have a struggle understanding the solar calendar versus the lunar calendar and all that, and how the calendar has all been messed up for so many years. But we know that the Bible is on a lunar calendar. So what we've done with this calendar that I made, it's a circular thing because God is cyclic. It shows all the months. It shows the civil calendar, and it also shows the spiritual or prophetic calendar on the same calendar to help you understand your Bible. So when you read a month and a day, if they don't give you the name, most of the time the Bible doesn't, well, then you got to find it. Well, when is that? And you look it up on this chart, this calendar, this circular calendar, and then you say, wow, that was this, or this was during this month, this was during the month of Elul, or whatever. And it gives you an understanding of what was going on at that time and how God honored all that in those particular months. And so that's available to you also if you'd like to have that. All we ask you to do is send in a self-addressed stamped envelope and request it, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. So you can avail yourselves of that as well. So we're honored to be here with you again on another Saturday. I tell you, the time goes by so fast. Here we are now. We're in the first week of May, Pastor Don, already.
Amen.
So it's amazing. So, Pastor Don, I'm sure you got a few things you'd like to share up front before we go back and share a little more about Ruth. We are going to show a video this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And I've got two. I haven't made up my mind yet. They're both good. But come, you'll be blessed. Not because of us, but you'll have something that you can learn about the Word of God, what God's doing in the land, even this day and this hour, and also even things from the past, what God wants us to know today. Because you know, Isaiah said this in his book. He said, you'll know the end from what?
The beginning.
From the beginning. So we go back to the ancient past to find out what was put in place, and there were patterns to show us what God's doing even today. And so we can't compare everything. We got a lot of prophecy teachers today who are trying to tell you the end from the end and all. Well, the Bible doesn't say that can be done. It says we go back to the ancient past to find out how things started and what God's plan was when he established those seven appointed times in Leviticus chapter 23. That wasn't just be something to be doing. He did it to show us prophetically what was going to happen in the future. And they all represented things with Israel. We know we talked about the first fruits and unleavened bread. And now we're talking about the barley harvest, the wheat harvest. We just left the barley harvest. We're going out to the end of the time to come to the early wheat harvest and all that, and counting the omer to get enough wheat to be able to accomplish those two loaves of bread and all that we read about. So they all had a prophetic implication at the end. So as I keep telling people all the time, these are not stories that we're reading in the book of the Bible. These are events that happened. And so we can glean from all those things to see how God's going to bring things to a conclusion. And I've said this probably 100 times at least on this program over these almost 20 years. God has a 7,000-year plan for mankind and the earth, starting with Adam, before it's going to come to a conclusion. And that seventh period of 1,000 years will be the messianic and millennial reign. It's what it's going to be. It's going to be his kingdom. And we're going to all be there. Hallelujah. Isn't that excited, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
We'll all be there. We'll all have something to do. So I always think about this. You know, we're not going to go to heaven and be a hobo. We've got to have something to do. So what we're doing for the Lord right now, our training, our experience with ministry and things we do with people, is all preparing us for something that we're going to be accomplishing and doing in the kingdom of God. So this is what's important about us, to learn, to grow up, to mature, and to know what the call is that God has on our life, because we will be used in that 1,000-year period reign as well. It's exciting to think about it. So you that have ears to hear this today, we ask you to listen to what the Spirit of God has to say to you as we share these things, and we just turn this over to the Lord and to you.
Amen.
And we're honored to be here with you. So hallelujah.
Well, I just want to say hello and pray that everyone has a restful Sabbath day, and because this is the Sabbath, and we do honor the Sabbath, and we should all honor the Sabbath.
That's right.
Because it's in the commandments, and God hasn't changed.
He says, remember the Sabbath, didn't
he? We always should remember the Sabbath and keep it holy unto the Lord. I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey over on Andros Island.
Yes, yes, yes.
Building the temple of God, the building to worship in, and also building a spiritual house for the people on Andros Island. So we bless you guys and say hello to you guys. Amen. And to all of you who are out there listening, I also want to mention that we do have services on Sunday. We have services every meeting. We meet with the Lord every Friday night at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then also today, like at 4 o'clock, you said. And
then
we will meet together tomorrow at 10 a.m. So if you would like to come visit us, we'd love to have you and like to meet you. And
like
we
to
also
meet you,
have
yes.
a meal after our service. So, you know, maybe you can just come and spend the day on the first day of the week. That would
Hallelujah.
Sunday is the first day of the week. Today's the Sabbath. Amen. Well, I want to give our telephone number here, and then we're going to talk about the book of Ruth. It's not very many chapters. Four chapters in the book of Ruth, but it's a very important book, and it gives us a lot of insight into how God deals with foreigners, actually.
Yeah.
Ruth was a Gentile.
That's right.
A Gentile. So our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772 285 7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. So you can call us, and if you'd like to ask any questions, do you need prayer, or you just want to talk, you just want to say, hey, I like the program. I also want to mention that you can listen to this broadcast again on the internet. We're on the internet, and it would be WCNO.com, www.WCNO.com, and they're 24/7 radio around the world. So that's a blessing. So you can go and listen to this again. Just go to the program guide, go to Saturday, and look for Raising the Standard with Gene and Donna Hilton at 12 noon. So we're on for 1 hour every Saturday. Have been for the last almost 20 years, Pastor Gene said. Well, I want to mention here, Pastor Gene, before we start teaching about the Book of Ruth, is the one of the things that the Lord's laid on my heart is that, you know, she was a foreigner.
Yes, she was.
But she was grafted in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think about, you know, when we come to, and she became part of Israel. So when we're grafted in to the Lord, we become, we're grafted in. And so God takes in anyone who would love him, who would want to come.
That's right.
To him. So she was a...
Not a respecter of persons.
She was a Moabite, mm-hmm. and but she married a Jewish man. But that her husband died.
Right.
And, of course, there was a famine in the land at that time, and I imagine that's why Naomi left with her husband.
And her husband was gone.
And her two sons to this other country,
yeah,
to a Gentile country. Maybe they moved too soon, but, you know, God always has a plan. And sometimes we don't always understand
that's
God's
right.
plan, but as we see what how things come to, we don't understand in the beginning. Like you talked about, we got to know the beginning. But in the beginning, we may not understand.
Yeah.
But as we go through our life and as we go through history, we see, then we begin to get understanding of how God does things. And he doesn't always tell us the things right up front, you know. She didn't know she was going to be going back to a strange country, but she was willing because...
her love for Naomi, too.
Naomi, she loved Naomi, but Naomi, her two sons had died, and she said she set those girls, those two girls free, and they were to stay in, they could stay in their own land and find another husband. But Ruth wanted to go back with her, and so she adopted her religion. She believed the same way that Naomi believed.
That's right.
So basically, I would say she was grafted in. Like the Gentiles are grafted into the body of Christ when they ask Yeshua into their life. But the interesting too is, you know, she didn't know at that time she would be related to the Messiah.
That's right. Had no clue. That's
and so
right.
we're looking at a person who was born a Gentile. Ruth was born a Gentile, but she was grafted in to the same religion. Belief system that Naomi had and became an Israelite.
She was a proselyte, wasn't she?
Into the family mm-hmm. of Israel, and so she was. So she has that and carried the lineage that came all the way down to David, and which comes all the way down to Jesus. You know. So, you know, God's no respecter of persons.
That's right.
And what I like about this book is that you can see her heart. If you look at it, you can read and see what kind of heart she had. She had, and she was obedient, and she was faithful. And doesn't God call us all to be obedient and to be faithful?
That's right.
And to trust in the Lord. And let him do the work, because, you know, we can try to do things, and we do try to do things, and we want to do things the right way. But if we listen to the Lord and we follow him, you know, he has a plan that we really don't know many times. We don't know the plans of God. God has a plan, and he will reveal it to us as we are obedient to him, as we walk. It's a walk of faith. She walked by faith by going back with her. To Israel, you know, she still had land there.
Yeah,
mother still had land. The land, just because they left didn't mean that the land was promised to them. And that's another thing. God promises people things. He doesn't take them away.
That's right. He doesn't give you anything, then take it away. That's right.
And also it's interesting, too, it says right here in chapter 1, it says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges, and the judges were ruling at this time,
mm-hmm.
and that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. So here we now we know here that he was from Bethlehem, and he was from the tribe of Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So so we have to realize too that, you know, Yeshua came, the lambs that came out of Bethlehem, didn't they? Yeah. And Yeshua,
and he was born there, and all the lambs
Yeshua
were raised
was,
there.
He is the Lamb of
for
God,
sacrifice,
takes away the sin of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Yeshua was born in Bethlehem. So God has God's pattern doesn't it always works comes together.
Sure.
You know, it's like a big puzzle, and you can't see it until certain pieces start to fall into place, and then you begin to see the bigger picture. But God doesn't want us to see everything at once, because he wants us to be able to walk by faith and live by faith. And so I think she had to live by faith by going back to Bethlehem with Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know where she was going. I mean, she didn't know what it was like there. She was used to a different kind of lifestyle. So she chose to follow after her mother-in-law, and she trusted that was would be the best thing for her.
That's right. So she gave up her old ways, and she had new ways, didn't she?
She gave up her old ways, her old life.
That's right.
Her old, whatever how she worshipped. If there were idols, she gave up all those things. It doesn't say that she carried her idols with her.
Nope.
You know, even in some of the other stories that were stories, I called them stories, but events. It talks about, you know, even some people taking their idols with them. Remember the story of the idols from Laban's house.
That's right.
So, anyways.
She didn't do any of that.
She didn't do any of that. No, she didn't. She just.
She let it all go.
Doesn't say that she did. She just went on, and she followed after. She went back with her mother-in-law, and she must have had total peace in her heart, because if as you read it, you know, the mother-in-law was very gracious in saying, you know, that to the daughters, you know, you go and go each of you to your own mother's home. It says here in verse 8, and the Lord deal kindly with you. She blessed them. She blessed them. As ye have dealt with the dead and with me. So the girls were gracious to her. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. So she's saying, you know, you're going to find another husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. They loved her.
That's right.
They really loved her. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, and that may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should, I have hoped, if I should have a husband, also tonight I should also bear sons. Would ye tarry for them till they were grown? In other words, you're going to wait, because, you know, you're going to be old time they're grown. Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice, and they wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her.
Mm-hmm.
She, what does that word clave mean?
Joined to.
She was joined to. She wasn't going to let
man and woman get married. They cleaved to one another.
Let her go. She loved her. She claimed her. She was going to. She was. She had made. Naomi had made such an influence in their lives, both of these girls, these daughters' lives, that they loved her so much, but the one decided to go back to her own land. It says here in 15. Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. So her gods. See that right there? Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people, what can give us me goosebumps, wow. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She had made a decision.
That's right.
That she was going to follow the one true God. Mm-hmm. She no longer believed in these other gods. So she had conviction. She had great conviction. She says in verse 17, where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. She wasn't going to, no matter what happened, she was going to stay.
Yep.
The Lord do so to me, and more so.
More
also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. She returned. We don't know how many years she was gone.
Nope, we don't.
And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Mara, that means bitterness.
You know, Naomi's name means pleasant, very pleasant. And what's Mara mean? It means what? Bitter.
Bitterness. She had lost her husband.
She
had lost the opportunity of having any grandchildren.
Yep.
And then at the end, and as we read this, as we go through this, and you know, and as Ruth has a child, she took it to her breast just to love, you know. It was the child brought much joy to her. The last verse of that chapter says, so Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest.
There we go. So this is in the spring.
So now we're in the beginning of the barley harvest, mm-hmm. and they are come unto the land, and she's home. Naomi's home. She has Ruth with her, and they've come to the beginning of the barley harvest.
That's right. You know, interesting thing with this, Pastor Donna. You know, we find out that Naomi's husband, Abimelech,
mm-hmm.
he was from Bethlehem, Judah. So this is the tribe that Yeshua came out of
the
future. So it's interesting that Ruth was joined with Naomi. It had to be that way if she was going to be in the lineage down to the Messiah.
That's right.
And so here she was. She was part of Judah, wasn't she? It's incredible. A Gentile, no less. We talk about Joshua and Caleb, okay? So, you know, Caleb was a Gentile. His father was Jephunneh. Same type of an example. And they came out with a good report when they went in to visit the Promised Land. The rest of them all had an evil report. But I think about Caleb. He was so honored by God. He was a Gentile. He was put in the tribe of Judah. You can read that over there in Chronicles and all. It's amazing. So here she came to the right place, didn't she? Hallelujah. And so Boaz was also from the tribe of Judah. So you go on here, honey, in chapter 2.
Okay. Well, Naomi had kinsmen of her husband's. He was a mighty man of wealth. He was rich, right? Had family.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Boaz.
And his name means strength. Boaz. He's strong.
Yeah. Strength. So Ruth the Moabitess, she said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. It doesn't mean corn like
grain
on the cob.
Yeah.
It means grain. It was barley. After him, in whose sight I shall find grace. So here she's basically... It's like a prophetic word, isn't it?
Right.
She says, I'm going to find grace in his eyes.
So you see she goes out into the fields,
mm-hmm.
and she comes here, it says in the next verse, after the reapers were done. So remember the Bible? It tells you over there, where we were reading over in Leviticus chapter 23 about this time,
right.
and all that? They had to leave the four corners of the field. They would not harvest that. They left it there for the poor people and all to glean from that. So that's she gleaned from the four corners of one of Boaz's fields.
For a while, but not
right,
the whole time.
That's right.
So her mother-in-law said, go, daughter, you go and do that. And verse 3 says, and she went and she came and she gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap
means happening,
was too light on a part of the field
belonging
to Boaz. So that's where she ended up going, who was the kindred of
Abimelech. That was who Naomi's husband, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" So he recognized, he noticed her.
That's right.
She must have been very beautiful. He noticed her right away. Or, you know, the Spirit of God. You know how when the Spirit of the Lord is on someone, there's a special glow,
right.
There's a special look.
Kindred spirit.
You just know,
huh?
That there's something special about that person.
Yeah.
When you have the Spirit of God within you, you have an anointing. And you have there is a special glow about it, about us. You know, even as Moses' face shone, you know, when he was in the presence of the Lord. Well, we carry the presence of the Lord within us, don't
That's
we?
Right.
And so we should always have that radiance of the Lord. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servants that was set over the reapers answered and said, "This is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves."
Mm-hmm.
So she came and hath continued even from morning till now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field.
Don't go anywhere else. Yeah.
Neither go from hence." In other words, stay here.
Right.
"But abide here fast by my maidens." In other words, you stay here with my maidens.
Close to the maidens.
"Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art thirstest, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." So he was protecting her.
That's right.
He was a protective covering for her. And he had given instructions to the men, and she was to follow after the other maidens, which I would believe would be virgins, the other maidens.
Sure, imagine, yeah.
"Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, 'Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger.
That's right.
Now, I've been talking about the word knowledge,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the Lord showed me to, when I'm reading the Word of God and asking the Lord, I ask the Lord for wisdom, and you ask, the Bible says, when you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to us.
That's right.
And then understanding and knowledge. Well, you know, he had the knowledge of who she was and what she was for. There was a purpose. He knew there was a purpose. "And Boaz answered and said unto her, 'He hath fully been shown.
It hath fully been shown me.
So he knew much, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
"All that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother." Well, this looks like what we read, what the Bible tells us to do. Leave our father and our mother, right? "And the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knowest not heretofore." So he knew all these things. He had this knowledge about her.
You know one thing here too, Pastor? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Boaz's name meant strength.
Strength.
He's a picture and a pattern of Yeshua the Messiah. He's our strength.
Yes, he is.
He's the one that protects us, just like Boaz protected Ruth out in the fields and all that.
That's right.
It's an amazing pattern there. Yes, go on.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says he's going to
be...
Verse 12. Well, I like this part of verse 12. He says, "Under whose wings thou art come to trust."
That's right. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." See, we have to trust the Lord with everything we
have.
Trust.
We have to trust
right.
in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Things haven't changed much
nope.
since then.
Nope.
And then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And
she
Boaz said to her, "At mealtime come, thou hither and eat of the bread.
Wow.
And dip thy morsel in the
sounds vinegar, like the Last Supper,
in the wine. It was wine. Yeah. So he invited her to come and eat with him. You know, Jewish people in those days, and some even legalistically in today, they won't eat with a Gentile.
Right.
But see, she wasn't a Gentile anymore. I mean, she had...
She's part of Israel.
She had joined in. When she made a decision, even before she left the land of Moab, she had made a decision to follow after the Lord. And doesn't God look at our decision?
Amen.
He looks... When you make a decision, it comes from the heart.
Absolutely.
She had made a heart decision, not a mind decision. She had made a heart decision because of the love that she had for her mother-in-law, and I assume for her dead husband, and for I'm sure her mother-in-law must have spent much time sharing with her about the Lord.
I'm sure she did.
And about God.
Yes.
And about, you know, who the... about Jehovah.
Who the true God was.
Yeah, right.
Or is, yeah.
And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come. So he's inviting her to come and eat bread and have wine. And she sat down beside the reapers, and he reached her parcel of corn,
her
grain, and she did eat and was sufficed, and she left.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not.
So yes.
She didn't have to go in the corners and take the leftovers.
She could have whatever she wanted. Yeah.
She could take whatever she could carry, whatever she could handle.
That's right.
And so,
but she thought she was going to glean, didn't she?
She wasn't just gleaning in like you said, the four corners. She went right out with the other maidens and gleaned in the field, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose. Let some of it fall so she won't have to pull it up, you know? He was saying to her, but, you know, just let, you just drop some along the way, and so all she has to do is what? Pick it up.
Yeah.
For her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not.
Yeah.
So she gleaned in the field until eve, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephod of barley. Now it tells us that it was barley. So everywhere that you see the word corn, or
in this part of the book,
it's talking about barley
season.
And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed.
Or filled, huh?
Mm-hmm. She had plenty. She had more than enough. You want me to continue reading?
Yeah, just 19 says, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee.
Mm.
And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz.
Boaz.
And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead.
Yes.
And Naomi said to her, the man is near of kin unto us, and one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast, that means near, by my young men, until they have ended all my harvest. Two more verses. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and they meet thee not in any other field. So he stuck with Boaz. This is the key verse now. So she kept fast by the maidens, or near, of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So it covers this whole time we're talking about counting the Omer, from the barley harvest until what? The early wheat. Amazing,
so
she was
gleaning, it says, to the end of the barley harvest and to the wheat harvest.
So she gleaned all 50 days, yeah.
She gleaned all the way through the wheat harvest as well,
Gene.
It would have been longer than 50 days.
Yep.
So she gleaned all the way through the barley harvest
and
all from the beginning of the barley harvest into the wheat harvest and to the end of the wheat harvest.
But it covered these 50 days.
It covered
also,
the 50
it?
Days up to Pentecost.
That's
but
right.
It covered it. But it also says and of the wheat harvest, so that it doesn't say, it says to the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest. So we don't know how far into the wheat harvest. It could have been all the way
through
the wheat harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Because it lasts several weeks, you know. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? So she is, the mother and Naomi is
kind of working together,
she
don't they?
She is seeing there's a future. She's seeing there's a future here. There's favor. He's next of kin. You know, I'm sure, and I don't think she was trying to manipulate. You know, she knew that God had placed Naomi in that field, and she saw the favor of God upon her life. You know, we know that the favor comes from God, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Favor comes from God. And now, it says in verse 2, and now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he willoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Now, this is very interesting what this goes into. She tells her to wash thyself and anoint thee and put on a raiment, put on clean clothes, rather, and upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do.
A lot of people get a wrong opinion what happened here with
That's
her.
That's right.
That's right. There was nothing sexual in this in any way, shape, or form.
No.
This was a custom in Israel. Go ahead, Annie.
Mm-hmm. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Wow. She didn't argue with her.
Nope.
No. She says, I will do that. She didn't know. She wasn't used to the customs of Israel.
True.
But she trusted and she believed in her mother-in-law. And she knew that she was a godly woman. And she said, I'll do that. I will do what you tell me. And she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. You know, that little word, all, three little letters, is very important. Because when God tells us to do
everything,
to do something, and he doesn't want us to just to do part of it. He wants us to do all that he commands us to do. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn or barley. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight, that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaiden. Spread therefore thy skirt o'er thy handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman. She's basically asking him to
redeem her.
To redeem her.
That's
to marry her.
That's right.
To, you know, to bring forth so that there would be a generation that would come forth. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. He was a bit older than her. Quite a bit older than her. For thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all, here's this word all again, all that thou requirest.
For all the sake.
He's doing all that somebody all that she's requiring, and you know, and he's not even questioning her not being Jewish or from Judah. No, he knows where she's from. But he says, "I'm going to do all that thou requirest, for all that the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman."
She was.
Now that's very key. She was a virtuous woman.
Proverb 31 woman, wasn't she?
And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, however there be a kinsman nearer than I. So there was somebody who was a closer relative
than Boaz.
And he said he was going to do it quickly. He didn't tarry around.
Nope.
Verse 13 says, Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, that means if he's not going to take you as his wife.
A redeemer, yes.
Then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning.
It's interesting here. We're in verse 8 about at midnight. And we think about the parable of the 10 virgins over in Matthew, 25. They were looking for the Lord to come back at midnight. Boaz came there at midnight. Picture of the Messiah,
Right. So she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. Nobody knew she was there. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came into the floor. Also, he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. It was very heavy, 6 measures. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.
She wanted to take care of her mother as well, her mother-in-law, right?
That's right. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. In other words, wait upon the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say wait upon the Lord?
That's what it says.
All these examples, people speak it, and you know, but many people don't do it. She said, sit still, my daughter-in-law, until thou knowest the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest. He's not going to rest. Amen.
Talking about Boaz.
Right. He has finished the thing this day. So he was going to finish that this day. There's a prophetic word right there
from your
mother-in-law.
Hallelujah.
That, you know, you're going to rest. God, it's in God's hands.
Hallelujah.
You rest. What does that word rest mean? You rely upon the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You're not going to have tension. You're not going to, you know, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. You just have to rest in the Lord.
That's it.
And that's what we do on Friday nights. We spend time resting in the Lord. You know, after we have our teaching about our Torah reading, and after we have our communion, and we open in prayers, and we do the prayer for opening up the Sabbath, you know, we have a time of rest, and we play this beautiful music, and we rest in the Lord. And so many times when you get to that place of rest, you know, God even reveals more things to us, doesn't he?
That's right.
Now we're into the last chapter, and
we might
be able to finish this, Pastor Gene.
Yeah.
Amen. You want to go ahead and read there?
It's chapter 1, then verse 1 of chapter 4. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Remember, they made all the decisions in the gates of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down.
That's very key, 10 men.
10.
There had to be 10 men.
That's right. It's like a forum, isn't it? Huh? And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is to come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our father Elimelech's. Excuse me. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee. And I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.
Now let's stop here for a minute.
That's right. There's a lot
now,
in that.
Now there was a what I'm trying to think of. You can buy the field, but there's something you have to take along with.
That's
the field.
Right.
You know, now a lot of people wouldn't have a problem buying the field to get more land. Hey, land is expensive, right? And land is like, land is profitable and money wise. But if you're going to buy the field, you've got to also take on Naomi and her daughter-in-law.
That's
right. And you have to marry her daughter-in-law.
That's right.
And you have to raise up children unto Naomi's family.
That's right.
Basically. And, you know, he wasn't, well, we're going to go ahead and read that, but there were other things that wasn't just buying land. He had to also, as buying the land, he would be also purchasing.
There was people attached to the land.
There was people attached to the land.
That's
and
right.
There was a future. And just think, if he would have agreed to do that, he would have been the one that would have been come down to David and come down to Yeshua. But he was greedy, and he didn't want to give any of his inheritance.
To a Gentile.
To a Gentile.
That's right.
Now that's key. And there's so many people in the church, and also Jewish people, who don't want, Christians don't want to have anything to do with the Jewish people, and there's Jewish people who don't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles,
especially intermarrying. Yeah,
and they would consider a Christian a Gentile,
right?
Because they weren't born. So they're looking at the birth, right? Well, God is always looking at the heart. See,
right.
See, Ruth was joined in because of her heart.
Yes,
she became part of a Jew. She became part of Judah because of her heart. But a lot of people don't believe that way. But if we go and look in the New Testament, it talks about who is it? Who is a Jew? Those who are, I believe it's in Romans, those who are a Jew in the heart.
That's right.
Go ahead, honey.
Now, verse 6 says, this is the key verse, and the kinsman, the one that was really
the closest
heir, said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. He didn't want to be attached with a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said, you know, the one closest said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
To raise up
the name
of the dead upon his inheritance, and the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are all witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said,
wow,
we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come unto thine house like Rachel, wow, and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel.
Wow.
You know,
she was part of building the house of
Israel,
Yeshua.
The original 12 tribes, yeah. And
Ruth was.
And do thou worthily in Ephratah, which this is Bethlehem, and be famous in Bethlehem.
Be famous in Bethlehem.
And let thine house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Go ahead.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. She's like Rachel and like Leah.
Yeah.
Wow, and even to bring forth a son. So Boaz took Ruth. You read that?
Yeah.
She bare a son, and the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, or a kinsman redeemer, we could say.
That's right.
That his name may be famous in Israel.
Hallelujah.
Wow. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life.
Woo.
You know, she was down, and you know, but she had hope, right?
Yeah.
Restorer of thy life.
She went through a lot, yeah.
And a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons.
Huh?
Wow, I could cry.
Hath borne him.
And Naomi took the child, and she laid it in her bosom, and she became nurse unto it. And the woman, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse,
the father of David. And then he goes through all the generations. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse beget David. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So here she is in the lineage all the way down.
Thank you, Lord.
To David, which also was the lineage to the Messiah.
I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 1.
Okay, go right ahead.
If I can read through my wet eyes. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham beget Isaac, and Isaac beget Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Thamar. And Perez begat Esrom, forgive me if I mispronounce these. And Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab. Did I say that right?
Amminadab.
Begat
Nashon.
And Nashon begat
Salmon.
And Salmon begat Boaz
of Rahab,
and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse.
And Jesse begat David the king.
And Jesse begat David the king.
David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias.
And Solomon, and we can go on.
You go on with the lineage there.
Down the lineage. But there we have right there in the book of Matthew, God is a good record keeper.
Sure is.
It says right here, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth.
That's right.
Awesome. Right. To send Jesus Christ, right? Right to the these are the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
You know, we got 7 minutes. There's another interesting
thing. Thank you, Father.
In Ruth that I shared before.
Thank you, Lord.
If you look, starting in verse chapter 4, verse 18, to the end, it shows you there's been 10 sons that were brought forth. If we go over to Deuteronomy 23:2, this is a real prophetic word here.
Yes, 10 sons.
Yeah, 10 sons. I'm going to go over here to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Turn my pages here. Chapter 23. One more page. I got it here. Chapter 23. What we want to look at here is verse 2. We'll read 1 and 2. He that is wounded in the stones, we know what that means, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard is what? A bastard is someone born with what? Without a father. Or a name from a father, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now the first thing that's mentioned here over in Ruth is these are the generations of Perez. Okay? And we know what happened with all of that. And so when we think about all this, we go back to Genesis 38. I'm not going to go over there. It shows what Judah and what happened with Tamar, both of Perez. Perez was the first one mentioned. So they brought an illegitimate child in. And so God said there'd be no one, if they were...
10 generations.
10 generations shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So exactly from the time that Perez with that sin, it's exactly 10 generations, and then we come down to David. Isn't that amazing? So God.
So it had to be the way God had it.
Hey, way God had it planned.
It wouldn't have fulfilled that word had that other son had a child.
That's right.
With her.
So it's amazing when you think about
his. That's awesome.
His accuracy of his word. So I love this. You know, verse 13 here in Ruth 4, and so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Isn't that amazing?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman or a redeemer, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. She needed that, didn't she?
Mm.
And a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, and Ruth sure certainly did, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it to her bosom and became nurse to it.
Thank you, Lord.
Doesn't mean she nursed it like we think about. She was holding
it. She held it. She loved him.
And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse and the father.
So what does Obed mean?
I don't know. I was just thinking about it. I'm going to look it up. I got a dictionary up here.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
Well, that's good. Praise the Lord.
I'll tell you what, Obed.
I was wondering why we'll have, maybe it tells us later on, and you know, around David's life or Jesse's life, but I don't remember. But I was wondering if Obed knew his grandson David. Wouldn't that be interesting?
That might be, yeah. Well, David. They didn't live a lot of years in those days, you know.
Obed begat Jesse, and so David would have been his grandson.
If that's true, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's look his name up here.
But whether he was alive or not when David was born,
mm-hmm.
We don't know that, but you know, that would have been something, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Wow, powerful.
Here we go.
Powerful.
Here we go.
And you know, it shows you God's faithfulness and that how he doesn't, whatever he says, whatever it says in God's word.
Here's an interesting name for Obed.
Uh-huh.
His name means a tent.
A tent?
A tent is a covering.
It's like a house?
Yeah.
A tent.
Yeah, his name means a tent, Obed. So they named him Obed. Think about that one, a covering. Or a tent, all the way down to King David.
All the way down.
That's interesting.
Praise the Lord.
I never looked that name up before. That's an interesting thought.
Well, read the book of Ruth this time while we're in the barley harvest, if you can. And I'm sure that we could have covered other things, but I'm sure you will, as she gleaned in the barley field and in the wheat field, I'm sure you will glean some things from the Word of God, and that will show you more things about how important it is that that we come to the Lord. It doesn't matter where we were born, what country, what nation we were born in.
That's right.
If we come to the Lord, we have to give up all of our
old ways,
all of our idols, whatever, all those other gods. She gave up all those other gods, and she came only after the one true God, and she followed in that way, and she was blessed, and we can see what happened with her life because she chose the right way. See, there's two ways that you're going to choose. You're going to choose one of two ways. There's not a middle road walk down. And you mentioned that about the pike, the beginning of that. Mm-hmm. And I think about that, that saying that people say, "Oh, it's going to, coming down the pike." Coming down the pike is a wide road.
Yeah.
God doesn't carry us. He doesn't want us to walk on a wide road. It's like the turnpike. It's a wide road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a saying that people say, and you say it quite often. And I know you have other sayings that you say, and where you get them from, I don't know. But it's like, that's a saying that it's really a wide road. But God calls us to come on a narrow road.
Yeah.
To a narrow road. And, she chose the narrow road. She chose the road that looked to be not the best. Well, look at Lot. Lot chose the wide road. He thought that was the great. He said, I'll take all this,
Sure.
But look what happened to him in the end of his days, end of his life. Everything was destroyed. He lost everything. Well, running out of time. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. You can listen to this again if you want to go to WCNO.com, or you can give us a phone call. If you would like to have a copy of CD, we'd be glad to mail you one. Our phone number here in Stuart, Florida, I'll give you that in a minute, but we have services this afternoon at 4 p.m., and then we also will have our morning meeting at 10 a.m. tomorrow on Sunday. So come and join us, and we just want to worship together and love the Lord, love on the Lord, amen. So our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So we pray for all the Jewish people, not only in Israel, but around the world. They'll be like Ruth was, to accept the Messiah. She accepted Boaz.
Yes.
And so that they'll be married to the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach,
yes.
And they'll come into the kingdom of God in a special, special way. So we pray for them. Anyone that's listening to the program that doesn't know Yeshua, ask him to come in.
Amen.
Ask him to come into your heart, and he'll come in, and he'll just turn everything upside down. You can start all over with him. And so Naomi came, and Ruth went, and Naomi had to give up everything she had to follow.
Ruth did.
To follow what God wanted. So as we close this program every week, we're here because we love you. We want to see people raised up and brought to a new dimension with the Lord. As we close the program every week, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.